Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Everyone,
back in full force, John boy.
I'm back, and
thank God
we're not gonna stretch this issue out, I think, any longer.
No, we're not.
If you want our official response with Matt in the room, you can check out another shot that just was posted last
Thursday.
He
looks 1 year older today.
He does, and you know what? You asked me the other day. You were like, "Did you text Matt on his birthday?" And I was like,
"He doesn't even know I asked you that."
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even tell him.
Well,
but Matt, I did ask John in our pre-record. I was like, "Did you text Matt on his birthday?" And John was like, "No."
Not only did he not text me, I don't think he said anything at all.
Wow.
No,
that's your boss.
All.
I know.
That's your boss.
And Darren, I have to say, sent me a lovely note. It put a big smile on my face.
Extra credit. Extra credit.
I will just say this. I know.
Don't read the text, though, Matt. I don't want people to know that I'm nice and have emotions.
Please read it on the show right now. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. I knew it was your birthday on Sunday, and I kept meaning to text
you. That's the worst.
But it was like the first day that I actually felt back to like really 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Friday I was okay. Saturday I was getting better. But Sunday I like left my apartment for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was out running around with my boyfriend for most of the day. And then I went to bed and I just was back into work mode. This is my way of saying, Matt, I apologize. And I hope that you had a splendid birthday.
Uh-huh.
And
so he knew.
Here's Darren's text. Dear Matt, I just want you to know the night you spent the night in my basketball shorts was probably one of the greatest nights I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Highlight.
And I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Very nice.
Love, Darren.
He
yes.
took a little creative license with that. I'm not sure that's exactly what I had said.
Good.
But it's his birthday, and that's my gift to him, is just to let the mystery keep going.
That's nice.
I will say on our Facebook group, so after we posted the Beatles, you know, a couple people had written that they don't really like the Beatles and that the Beatles are overrated, right? And it was like the one thing where like the post could have gotten mean. Like even someone wrote, they're like, "This is a happy place, but now this is turning into a nightmare."
Now that we're talking music days.
Yeah, and so someone had written like, you know, "Sorry, Darren, I don't like the Beatles either."
Yeah.
And so I wrote back and I go, "I'm sorry, but serial killer trait. And I was like, I feel like
it's true.
I'm right
and
about
then you,
this.
And then you banned that person
yes,
from the
we
group,
kicked
right?
Them out. Yes.
No, it wasn't Matt. I listen, you gotta accept people that have differing opinions. I just think that has to be a serial killer quality.
Yeah, I would say at this point that's true.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I
you're
just
welcome.
Needed to be validated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said she accepted it about herself, so I knew I wasn't insulting her. I was just like, by the way, you're a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Well, Matt, we just celebrated your birthday, I guess, here on the show.
Well, he wasn't here, so we had like ginger whiskey that we were cheersing. Yeah. We didn't really cheers to you, but in spirit.
In spirit, in
Yeah, in spirit. And it was delicious. So we're glad you're back, that we have something, well, to drink. I was going to say something good to drink, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, I was going to say, let's wait till we take a sip.
Yeah.
What are we drinking today?
And keep in mind, I was the one who texted you for your birthday. So if you want to put something special in mind, just...
Funny you say that. Let's see what we're drinking.
We are drinking. Don't even ask what the connection is. There's no connection. I have certain bottles of alcohol in the cabinet, all right? And they have to get used.
By the way, we should take a picture of our cabinet. It's getting a little bit over... It's like, there are so many bottles of alcohol in this
house. Oh, I was going to say we need
bottles.
More.
That's a connection.
Yeah,
we got to use some of these bottles, okay? So we are having a margarita with Ancho Reyes chili ancho liqueur.
Is it spicy? Right?
It's a little spicy.
Ooh, I love
and it
that.
Has agave nectar, fresh lime juice. Mm. I just juiced this in the kitchen.
That was
and that's
I don't
it.
Know. That was like too sexual for me.
I don't like the way
hashtag I just juiced this.
What? How else am I supposed to say?
She was sipping her fucking water and was like, I'm putting this down.
I just juiced it in the bathroom, okay? What do you want me? I mean, come on.
Did you get juiced on your birthday, Matt? No, it was
perverts.
It wasn't. It wasn't me.
I made a normal human statement about juicing limes.
That's not a normal human statement.
I thought you guys would say thank you for the manual labor.
I think.
No.
This is getting even weirder.
We are not. Thank
you. You guys are doing this to me.
No,
why are we doing this?
We are not thanking Matt for any manual labor about juicing on this podcast. That's a disclaimer.
I think it was the way, and like also thinking about the sound that the listeners are hearing of his voice of him saying, I just juiced this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's
I juiced this.
I just juiced this.
Lean for crow for juiced
it's
it.
It's just, no.
Say I juiced it in an Irish, in your Scottish accent.
I just juiced it.
I juiced it.
That's not good.
It sounds a little less sexual when you say it that way than when Matt says it.
No, for sure. I agree. There was something strange about that tone.
Okay,
but
so we're drinking, I still don't know what, a margarita
Margaritas
that you juiced.
With Matt's
with Ancho Reyes chili liqueur.
We're 5 minutes
and,
in.
And some special juice, sir.
I don't want to know. That's really...
Also,
sorry,
I'll just say
everyone.
This, John.
Yes.
I did bring in the Baileys.
I saw.
Because I know you've been sick. Your stomach might not want tequila.
Chili.
That's smart.
Yeah.
And if you would prefer to have that or anyone else, I can just put some Baileys in a cup with ice. That's it.
I think I will have the Baileys.
Oh, he's not. You don't want to have anything Matt
juiced? I don't want Matt's juice for sure.
Did you just say, I think I will have the Baileys?
I'll have a cup of the Baileys too.
For some reason, that incident just reminded me of last week. I didn't tell you this, but we're all getting ready to record in here. You're obviously not here.
Right.
Megan has everything set up. I think Megan was in the room at this time because this was right before the podcast.
Okay.
And Matt comes in and I see Tony, and Tony is Matt's boss.
Right.
I think we've said that before. But Tony comes walking in and he like wants to say something. And before he does, I go, Tony, there's a Taco Bell cantina that's opening up on 23rd and 8th. And he goes, I was literally coming in here to tell you that. And I was like, oh my God.
Thank
and I
you.
Freaked out that me and Tony were literally about to
That's
say
the, only reason.
The same thing. So there's a cantina on 23rd and 8th.
See, this is how Taco Bell brings everybody together. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, Allie Green, in our legal affairs, lawyer online, just said, oh my God, happy belated birthday to Matt.
She messaged you. That's nice.
Our lawyer's way better than you.
Yeah,
thank
I think
you.
So.
She's not employed
thank
by
you
Matt.
For I know.
Thank you, Allie.
I have a
Yeah, Matt does have a birthday.
I have a
shocking,
feeling this like, moment will come up on my like yearly review. Like
no
30th
birthday gift.
Yeah.
No saying anything to Matt. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the murder this
let's
week.
Let's get to the murder.
But there's a cantina on 23rd and 8th.
We obviously need to go there at some
obviously.
Point. We are going to get into this week's murder. I have my Baileys in front of me because
That's
I will
nice
say
for you.
When he was talking about like tequila and like chili flavor, I was like, I don't know. I might have to just take a sip, but I will enjoy a nice little Baileys to
you
get back in the spirit.
You can't drink anything until...
No,
I have my drink.
Yeah, we'll get started in just a moment.
Okay, good.
All right, well, let's get into this week's subject at least.
Yeah,
so
let's
we're
do it.
Talking about Kelly Sanders. So she grew up the daughter of a well-off physician. She went to a prestigious all-girls high school in Nashville, Shout out to CrimeCon 2018.
Shout out to an all-girls high school.
Oh, that's true. Yes, I didn't realize.
I didn't go to one. I'm just like shouting them out.
You like them.
Yeah, I like them. There you go.
Her mother told NBC's Dateline, quote, she was prom queen. She did very well in school. She was very athletic. And she was a cheerleader, end quote. After college, she briefly worked at a county medical examiner's office.
The story's there, I can only imagine.
I was just going to say. A prosecutor in this case told Snapped, quote, she was a lab tech. She actually assisted in autopsies.
Have we ever had a case where someone either involved in the murder or who was murdered, we don't know yet what happened,
right,
actually performed autopsies? That's an interesting one.
That's interesting.
What, I feel like there was a, was it Ted Bundy? Somebody was like a cop. Not that that's the same thing. Ted Bundy was a coroner, or something. He hung out with cops all the time.
You know what?
Cop,
our listeners probably know way better.
Yeah, that's right. He was too big.
Yeah. That's right.
And also the Golden State Killer was, you know,
a cop.
But just matching some professions here, like you were just
It seems like it would be an advantage if there is a murder that happens.
Right. Yeah, it would.
Oh, right. Being a someone who performs autopsies. Wow, Matt has a good point. He should take a drink when he gets
home. Well, yeah, we're waiting. Some of us are waiting, but it's fine.
Well, Kelly worked in a number of very interesting jobs. First doing PR for NASA and then landing a job in the Tennessee governor's press office, according to Dateline. So this is sort of outlining who she is as a person. She seems very capable, intelligent. These aren't jobs that you don't really have skills for. You have to be very
I didn't even know NASA
skillful.
Like needed a PR team. You know what I mean? Like, it's NASA.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the mid-90s, Kelly went back to school to pursue a pre-med degree like her father and brother. She was very pretty and was a social creature. She had a lot of friends. A friend told Dateline, quote, well, she never met a stranger. Everybody just thought she was as beautiful inside as she is on the outside. She was just very sweet, very Southern.
Very Southern.
I'm thinking of Dolly Parton right now as we talk about this. Kelly and her friends went out a lot, and she met another social person named Jim Cannon. Kelly's mother described Jim to Dateline as, quote, smart, funny, and unpretentious.
Three
quote.
Things I feel like you'd really want in your child's significant other.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And in your child, but in your child's significant other.
Well, a friend of Jim's told Snapped, quote, we'd all go out after work, you know, a couple of times a week and go to parties and social activities on the weekend. We did a lot of charity fundraisers together, end quote. I don't relate. I'm not going out during the week. I'm not doing social activities on the weekend.
I'm going out. I'm just not doing charity fundraisers.
Yeah, definitely not doing charity fundraisers, although we should maybe do that.
We should, actually. Can we do it with animals?
Yes, that would definitely be
We're not inviting Megan for obvious reasons. Megan's not coming.
No, lots of animals scream when they see
her.
Yeah. The two soon became an item. They married in 1996. After telling Dateline Jim was a, quote, down-to-earth guy, a friend of the canon said, quote, mind you, he'd suffered a few false starts, an early marriage and divorce. He'd been a lawyer for a time and then made a very unlikely investment in a failed pancake house. In fact, he was bankrupt when he met the lovely Kelly, but she didn't seem to mind.
What
quote.
Pancake house is failing?
Well, what can go wrong in a pancake house?
Right. Like, why is it? I'd eat there. Like, what's happening?
Know. That's
what's,
also kind of sweet of Kelly. Just, you know, some women or men or whoever would have an
jump
issue with
ship.
That.
Yeah, for sure.
That made me think that the only reason I could see a pancake house failing is if it's called Matt's Juiced Pancakes.
Pancakes and Matt's Juice?
Let's like,
keep going.
Personally,
Are
juiced
you
by
kidding?
Matt.
You just came up with a multi-million-dollar
business
billion
plan. With a B.
We know at least some of the fans listening would check it out.
Hashtag juice my pancakes.
Oh, no.
I'm adding it.
This is turning into one of those episodes we're going to be talking about for a long time.
Yeah,
hashtag
it is.
Matt's Juice.
Oh, no.
No, Matt, you can't reference your own juice because then it's just,
then it's
we're getting
weird.
Into a whole thing now and we got to call HR in.
Oh, right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right. Well, medical school ended up not being the best decision for Kelly, as her mom told Dateline, quote, she just absolutely didn't like it. It wasn't her gift, end quote. Sometimes the best knowledge in life is knowing what you don't want to do.
That is something I tell everyone.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Like, you do everything that you need, and it's just as valuable knowing you don't want to do something.
Absolutely. That's life lesson out
there.
Oh, look,
our drinks.
Oh, finally. Those look good, though. I'll say that.
They look orangey.
Orangey. Juicy, would you say? Would you say juicy?
It smells like spiced tequila.
Smells juicy. All right. Cheers,
bitch.
If
this is my last episode and John has to take over because he has the Baileys, I love you all. How's your Baileys?
Delish. Just what I want. It's a very, like, Christmassy flavor, too.
This is good. It's actually sweeter than I thought it was going to be. I don't taste any spice at all.
What
I definitely
tequila?
Taste the tequila, but it's not. It's sweeter than I actually imagined it being. What do you think, Megan? You agree? The agave is really coming out in it. It's actually not bad at all and not offensive.
All right.
If you like margaritas, you're definitely going to like this. Matt, I don't taste too much spice. It's pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah.
You'd agree?
It has agave in it.
Yeah,
so,
that's what Megan said.
It balanced it out.
But if you don't like spice, you can still have this tequila. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Gina the Staff Boozer is like reporting from the field of something at the moment, but she will be back, I'm sure, eventually.
We don't want her to pull a John now.
Exactly.
We don't want to kick her out of the band.
You never know what's going to happen. Okay, back to the show here. Kelly left college and created a socialite life with Jim. In 1999, Jim used his legal skills to launch a multi-million dollar company that collected insurance money on large hospital claims. That year, Kelly gave birth to a son and another the following year. They were a very close-knit...
Damn.
I know, that's a lot of kids, like, in a short amount of time.
It's Irish twins. Irish twins.
They were a very close-knit, successful family. Money wasn't an issue, and Kelly didn't have to work. But things weren't always easy. Is life ever really easy, Darren?
I don't think so.
No. Megan's saying yes, though, which is an interesting thing.
Oh, well, it must be nice for Megan.
Yeah, good for Megan.
Yeah, have fun with your taxidermy.
A friend of Jim said, quote, both times she had postpartum depression, which was real, real bad, end quote. That's a literal quote.
I never had postpartum, although maybe with baby Tersh.
Something will brew. We'll see what happens.
But I have known mothers who have had postpartum,
definitely.
And it's
not easy.
It is no joke.
Yeah. And it continued when they had a daughter in 2006. After giving birth, Kelly's mental and physical health deteriorated. Sorry, I'm just getting back into the swing of things here.
When your health was deteriorating, you stopped having the ability to say deteriorate.
Exactly.
I know.
Jim took Kelly to get very good treatment. His attorney said, quote, she had been prescribed a medication. He wanted her to get better. He wanted her to get help, end quote. By the way, let's just pause for a second and just talk about mental health, because I know you and I have talked about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, folks, if it's that time of the year where, like, the sun sets at midnight, or I mean at, like, noon.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's colder and things feel a little more bleak.
You have that seasonal affect disorder.
I do, yes. I've learned how to manage it, I think, a lot better as I get older. When I was younger, I didn't know really what I'm doing or why it was happening. Get outside, exercise, and if it's really bad, just see a mental health doctor. There's no guilt involved in this.
Sometimes taking a walk will get out of your environment, you know, not that that's a cure-all, but
flowing.
Something to do. Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Megan's talking
sun lamps.
I've seen a couple of people like around the office keep those around to get your vitamin D going.
Megan, are we your sun lamps?
Oh.
We're sun lamps.
In people's lives?
Yes.
Oh, that's so
to
sweet.
To Megan.
Yes.
What does that make Matt? A dark blackout shade?
Matt's the blackout shade.
Yeah. Fade to black. Fade to black.
Fade to black.
I want to thank our researchers for this week's episode.
This PSA was brought to you by the Mental Health Association
thank
of
you.
America.
Exactly.
I mean, really, yeah.
There you go. Anyway, back to the story here. At home, they had nannies, housekeepers, and all the help that they could get to make life better for Kelly. She even had a personal assistant.
Oh, damn.
But then she became addicted to pain pills and complained of back pains or had unnecessary dental or plastic surgery work done to get a hold of them.
Oh, God. Could you imagine that? Like transforming your body just to get the pain meds?
The pills. That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Jim's friend said, quote, she had been prescribed medication, a lot of prescription medication, and mixing it with alcohol, which really caused her behavior to be bizarre at times.
Never a good thing to mix those things.
By 2007, Jim intervened and Kelly went to rehab. He took over the home duties while she recovered. But when she returned, the marriage was collapsing. A friend of Jim's told Snapped, quote, Jim was just at his wit's end. And he told me, he said, Maggie, he said, if it weren't for those kids, you know, I'd probably be divorced now, end quote. That's tough to hear. Jim's attorney said, quote, he just couldn't do it anymore. And I think it escalated to the point in February of 08 where he just decided he needed to file for divorce against her.
Yeah.
End quote. He filed for total custody of the three kids and possession of the home. Kelly was put out of the house and had to check into a hotel. So it sounds like, although we're describing it as one thing, it sounds like it's really kind of much worse than
that. It's a lot. I mean, from what we know now, you know, obviously he didn't want a divorce for the kids. But, you know, people often forget that, like, mental health not only affects the person who has it, but also the person that they're with or their children or their parents, but definitely the significant other. You know, I've read number of books on this and like it's a detriment to them as well. And that's not an excuse. You know, you don't want to leave anybody, but it's affecting them.
I was, it's funny you say this because I was just reading an article. I think it was in Variety or maybe like the New York Times actually, of somebody who said, you know, I had to break up with my boyfriend because of his mental illness.
Yeah.
And she was like, it was the worst thing I ever had to do.
Because you feel guilty, but at the same time, you have to protect yourself.
It really plagues in the same way mental health or mental illness as the person who really has it to your partner, as you were just saying.
Of course.
And this person talks about how she really tried and eventually it just was like, I have to get out of this scenario because it was a cycle. Spoiler alert, they got back together because after they broke up, he got the help he needed.
Exactly.
Or the help. So
that could be the motivator, you know?
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's
there's
not always
also
about.
Just when I was looking at the script, I mean, there's also an interesting issue, which is he took over the house duties. She has a lot of help. She has a nanny. She has a housekeeper, et cetera. I think there are times when, you know, when you have kids, especially when you have to show up, you have to do things, you have to clean a certain amount, you have to, you know, if you don't have to really do anything, you don't have a job, you have
what's
a nanny,
the strain?
A housekeeper, a nanny's watching the kids, you can kind of almost get away with indulging a little bit.
And
I'm not taking away, there could be very serious mental health here, which wouldn't alleviate that necessarily, but I think people can fall into this hole when they actually don't have to get up.
When you have children, it's like, I don't give a shit how sick you are. You got to
get
the fuck up.
Hey, it's 5:30 in the morning. I want my breakfast. And you have to get up. You have to do it. And you kind of get out of your rut, I think.
Because you're forced to be social and like to take that walk or to do this. Like you're forced
exactly.
to not just stay in bed because you can.
Matt, are you saying that kids wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning and want breakfast? Because
they
used
to.
Because then this is
never going to have kids.
This is a PSA for birth control.
Oh my God.
For years.
5:30?
I feel bad texting you at 6 a.m. that one time.
With my daughter, it happens sometimes at 4:30 in the morning.
What?
4:30 in the morning.
Are you ever like, you should go back to sleep?
Well, I mean, was this so little.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I see
too,
what you're
too
saying.
Little.
Did you hit her with a broom?
Year and a half. Yeah, I have my son whack her.
Yeah, why not?
You know?
Like, just, you know, that's how you should handle all your children.
He's getting good at it at this point, right?
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Well, on May 21st, 2008, a Nashville 911 operator received a call from Jim. He told the operator that Kelly had just come into the house and was attempting to leave with the kids. He claimed that she had assaulted him. Here's actually a transcript of that 911 call. Quote, she's having a psychotic break. She attacked me and hit the car. It's so pitiful, so friggin' pitiful. Now she's got the baby. Now she's trying to leave. Don't leave, Kelly. She's threatened me right now. She's a lunatic. She's putting the baby in the car. Ford and Isaac, move away. God. Do not get in the car. Absolutely not. Get away from me, Kelly. Get away.
I think the big takeaway from here is not only that Kelly's going a little bit loopy, but that they have kids named Ford and Isaac, which I
know.
Love those names.
I love Ford for a girl.
Yeah.
But, you know, not for a boy.
Oh, maybe not.
Kelly tried to grab the other children, but took the baby, who wasn't more than a year and a half old. And by the time the cops arrived, Jim and his two sons were in the yard watching as Kelly drove away with the youngest. Gut-wrenching, okay? Gut-wrenching. The police pursued until they realized there was a baby in the car, and then they pulled off. The cops tracked her using the SUV's onboard navigation. The detective said, quote, she was taken into custody later that day at a motel and was charged with evading arrest and domestic assault and reckless endangerment due to the fact that she had a child in that car while she was trying to get away from the police. I mean, I imagine that. Obviously, I'm not a cop, and I don't know, but the difference between chasing someone who's a single adult in the car versus someone who has a baby, got to be different tactics
there. I'm
sure
it's a whole different tactic,
A month later, Kelly was out on bail and living in a condo not far from their family home. The charges against her were still pending, however, and on June 23rd, 2008, Jim's nanny showed up at the house, and the housekeeper was actually also there. At first, the two thought the family was sleeping, but after a while, they became concerned. A detective told Dateline, quote, when they walk in the bedroom, bedroom, they notice that the chest of drawers has moved from its original position, and it's sideways, blocking the closet door. So they move the chest of drawer back, open the closet door, and there they discover the body of James Cannon.
Oh, wow.
A detective added to Snapped, quote, "He was found laying on a floor in the closet in the boy's bedroom. He did sleep in there, you know, and let them sleep in the big bed," which is just
heart-wrenching.
Oh, my God. "There were abrasions and bruises on his face and lateral marks across his throat. It appeared that he had been strangled," which is got to be a horrible way to go. And mm-hmm. then there was another problem. The 7 and 8-year-old boys and the 18-month-old girl were all missing. The housekeeper said, quote, "We're like, you have to find Kelly. You have to find out where she is because the kids are not here and she has the kids," end quote.
I'm panicked.
I know, me right too. Now, my heart's like listening. Racing. I'm like trying to read fast, like one of those ads I do. Like, yeah. Just to get through it.
Yeah.
The cops headed to her condo and saw that the kids were there and safe.
Whew. Good.
But how the fuck did they get there? In a statement on the record, Kelly admitted she had taken the kids, but denied any knowledge of Jim's death. Yeah, of course.
Right.
She claimed that she hadn't seen Jim since the last incident a month earlier when the police had been called on her. In a recorded statement, she told police a very different story of what happened that day, saying, quote, "He threatened me and he shoved me with the baby and he said, this isn't working and, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from the children." She also said, quote, "I was scared to death because, you know, he's the attorney," end quote. Which, you know what? Let's just take that statement as like true fact. If you're fighting with someone and like they're the attorney,
yeah.
That's got to be an extra layer of fear because they yeah. know how to evade the law. They know well, what they could get away with in a way.
Just sitting here.
I'm not fighting with Megan.
I mean, Megan's not an attorney yet. She will be very soon.
But she knows.
But she knows.
She
that
knows
law.
The loopholes,
she
my
knows
friend.
That law. Kind of freaks us out.
Watch out,
Megan.
I'm glad Matt's not an attorney because then it would be, yeah, right.
Watch exactly. out, Megan's fiance.
I know, seriously.
She's planning it out all right now.
Mm-hmm.
But she would never do anything to the duck with the tiny Santa hat.
No,
and
she's
that's
very
the
gentle.
Moral of
that's,
the story.
She's very gentle.
She has empathy. However, she did say she had spoken to him the night before around 10:30 p.m. while she was at dinner with a girlfriend. Kelly said he had called her and told her he was scared and he had been threatened but wouldn't say who it was. She claimed she was rattled by the conversation and after dinner went over to check on her kids. She told investigators that she found the house wide open and Jim was actually missing. She gathered the children and left for safety. Kelly asked what was going on and the detectives told her he had been found dead. She began sobbing and insisting that she told the cops everything. The police contacted Kelly's friend and she confirmed there was a phone call. Now, granted, we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But isn't it all, like, do you think that a lot of people have these weird, and we sort of have brushed upon this before, where it's like this grown ass guy is found dead and they're accusing his wife? Like, there's just like the strength differences. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I talk about this all the time with the Manson murders, how, you know, the killers were actually outnumbered. So Carson's always like, how could they have done it? You know, they had like little pistols. One of them had a little pistol, but how could they have overtaken them? And I'm like,
this is what they talk about on the romantic dates every Friday and Saturday night at Taco Bell.
Oh. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean,
obviously.
And sometimes White Castle. What's the big deal, Matt?
Welcome to a relationship with Darren.
Yeah, right. You know? Exactly. Like, that's me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, you never know what you're going to react to in that situation. You know what I mean? He could have been huge and she could have been small and he's terrified because she's running after him and he's got children. And I just want people to be aware of those types of things. It's not.
She
it's
is
not,
oh, very small.
Right. But it's not just a physicality difference. It's also a flight or fight response.
I was going to say, we also don't know what weapon she could have at this point.
Totally.
And I think, you know, speaking of like the whole weapon thing, you know, if there are a group of, and unfortunately this has become news in recent years way more than it should be, but one person has a gun versus 100 people without a gun, yes, technically that 100 people should be able to overpower that person.
Right, but like,
but they have a gun.
Exactly.
So it's like no one's going to be stampeding forward to give their life. You know,
right, or they might, but if they're not, that doesn't necessarily,
right.
You know, it's like, it's just hard to say in that situation.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, Megan. Fuck with her. Yeah, right.
Oh, that's true. Megan's
Megan's point was that his instinct is probably not to hurt his little tiny wife, but also it's the mother of their children. You know what I mean? So he wants to protect
them. He's
trying
to like reason with her potentially.
Exactly. And you know what? I could see that being, and my girlfriend's smaller than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that being like a reasonable.
Smaller, but feisty.
She could kick my ass.
Twisted.
Let's make that a statement right here. Yeah. I'm strong, but no.
Who would win in a little like fight between the two of you? That's tough.
Carson is so scrappy though. Like she would go right for my knees and just like fucking kill me. Like she could kill me with her eyes. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, okay. I know that's how I'm gonna die.
Yeah, good. You heard it here.
We're getting
first.
Married in 2020. I'm just kidding.
Well, let's talk about what exactly did happen. A detective said, quote, "We feel he was caught by surprise that he was asleep and was probably in all likelihood strangled, you know, there in the bed and dragged out of the bed," end quote. They didn't find a murder weapon, but a cord of a charger in the wall had been snapped off and was missing. It was a possibility. Then there was blood in the hall outside of where Jim was killed. Lastly, in the bedroom where the boys had been, a fingertip of a latex glove was found.
Craziest piece of evidence, by the way, to find.
The blood and the latex were put into evidence and tested for DNA. The police questioned Kelly again. She claimed the same story she told police when they first came to her condo. She said he told her someone was threatening him, went to the house, found it empty, and took the kids for their safety. A detective asked, quote, "Why didn't you call the police?"
Which
is a good question. Kelly replied, quote, "Telling me he was going to send me to jail and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I was scared, but I was more scared for my children, to tell you the truth," end quote. Not sure that's really adding up.
I'm not really sure why you still wouldn't call the police, right. But okay.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And also, I'm assuming, like, if she went upstairs to the room, she would have noticed, you know, if that dresser's in a different place in front of the closet door.
Yeah, I think the phrase fingertip of a latex glove is right. Just really irking me right now. Like maybe that needs to be the new name of the podcast.
This new show?
Fingertip of a latex glove.
Coming soon to a...
This is what me and I are going to call our story, our love story. Fingertip of a latex glove.
When it's all
everyone's
said and done.
Hating on Kelly. Everyone's just hating on her.
She looks quite suspicious right now.
We're not done with the case.
She has a point. What if
we have to thank our researchers?
Has said it. Okay, just continue.
Yeah.
It's like Matt knows
Matt has done the research. Yeah, I've been a part of this podcast for 2 years.
Her mother later said to Dateline, quote, "Because they would have arrested her and thrown her back in jail if they found out that she was over there. They would have arrested her because she had that restraining order," end quote. Kelly further explained that she had been the first one to contemplate divorce. She told detectives, quote, "I caught him cheating, and that's when this all started," end quote. Kelly said when Jim found out she had gone to see a lawyer, he began his own divorce proceedings and beat her to the punch and picked up his kids at school so he could have physical custody of them.
I hate anything that involves like children battling and back and forth. I just hate it. It's just like the more you grow, sometimes you're never going to get more mature.
No, definitely. During the interrogation, one of the detectives had Kelly sign a search waiver and looked around her condo. In the living room, the detective found a small paper bag of... latex gloves. He took that and sent it for testing. That was a good sound effect, by the way. They also... He sounded like Butthead from Beavis and Butthead for a second. Yeah, I like it. They also asked around to figure out who else might have motive. A detective told Snapped, quote, "I talked to his business partner and couldn't find that he really had any problems with anybody. We go to where the evidence takes us. It was nobody else. No one could be developed as a suspect," end quote. So at this point, it really is like everything's pointing to her.
That's what it seems. Yeah. Listen, Matt's making it seem like another thing. I'm just saying conjecture. This is what we're assuming.
Yeah. But the next interesting development came when the detectives got a copy of the divorce and custody papers. It made clear that Kelly had dealt with worse than postpartum depression and an addiction to painkillers. An attorney told Snap, quote, "After the birth of her first child, Kelly was diagnosed with schizophrenia."
Which is such a... I feel like in the last 4 podcasts that we've talked about, schizophrenia has been mentioned.
Has been around,
in some capacity. Like, someone was diagnosed with it, and that's what happened. Like, it's just been mentioned quite a bit.
I feel like schizophrenia is one of those things that is underdiagnosed. Because I feel like a lot of people may be falling into a lot of the sort of symptoms and sort of behaviors that I know in... not just my personal life, yeah, but just like out there in the world. I don't know.
I feel like it would take a lot to be diagnosed as schizophrenic. Yeah. And, you know, they're changing qualifications in the DSM all the time. Like being gay was considered in the DSM. And like, that's actually the problem, I think, with a lot of like ADD and stuff like that, is that they've stretched the criteria so much that like, everyone has ADD now, you know? So schizophrenia, I'm not sure about, but it's quite possible because it's a thing.
Yeah.
I just have to say, I haven't seen Kelly having signs of schizophrenia in this
so far.
I mean, not that she didn't or doesn't have it, but I just haven't seen it. I mean, with some of the episodes we've seen postpartum, like, you know, people are hallucinating, they're hearing voices, the, you know, ancient Egyptians are telling me to eat this person or whatever. You know, we're not seeing anything
we've
like
all been
that.
There.
Yeah, I got that last night.
I was going to say.
Oh. Someone's juicing over there. Continue it, because now even Matt's dying.
Now it's getting
killed Matt.
Now it's getting actually weird. Well, she had apparently kept things under control for the first two pregnancies, but after the third, she lost control, and according to the divorce proceedings, she wouldn't take her antipsychotic, I'm assuming medicine, and began hearing voices sometimes over the phone. Is everything okay, guys? I know Matt's cackling
Matt,
in the corner.
Matt thumbs up me because he thought it was a good joke.
Gotcha.
That was probably one of the best.
He literally walked away and thumbs up me. So there you go.
Despite all this, Jim's attorney told police that Jim had only reluctantly filed for divorce because of the kids and hoped doing so would help Kelly take control again. Sometimes that's what it takes. Jim's friend said, quote, Jim was number one, madly in love with Kelly through the whole thing, end quote. A few days after the divorce, Kelly collapsed at a hotel and was rushed to the hospital. Her weight had fallen to 90 pounds.
Oh my God.
From alcohol and drug abuse. That is like, you're basically just a skeleton.
Yeah, really.
Jim's attorney said, quote, she stayed there for 30 days and they had recommended that she go to for longer treatment, a longer period of treatment out of state or at some other long-term treatment facility, end quote. Which is probably a good idea if you weigh 90 pounds, by the way.
I mean, 30 days is a long time. Yeah. I think it has to be serious if you're in there for 30 days.
Definitely.
Well, at first she agreed, but then she didn't follow through. Barely a month out of rehab, she was stealing her baby from the house and getting arrested. Not a good thing to do when you're in a custody battle, of course.
Yeah, not usually.
A detective added to the story of the day when Jim had called the police saying, quote, as the police are arriving, she takes the young little girl who at the time I think was only like 12, 18 months old and got in the car and rammed his car and took off, end quote. Again,
so no one's caring about the children, the well-being of these children, but okay.
She then drove through the yard, driving all over the toys, and went 70 miles per hour through residential neighborhoods and a shopping area. That's when Jim's attorney claims Jim decided he needed to follow through with the divorce.
Especially just to like protect the children.
Right, totally.
But could Kelly, who was literally 5'2" and only 90 pounds, which by the way, like 90 pounds, like, yes, it's so little, but when you are that small, like someone who's 5'2" weighing 90 pounds isn't like crazy. You're thin. You're definitely thin. You clearly have a problem, but it's not like,
it's not out of the realm of like a normal.
No, it's not like a 6'3" person being 90 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
So she was 5'2" and only 90 pounds, actually strangled Jim to death, which is sort of what I was bringing up to you before about the physical implications of it all.
Right.
While waiting for lab testing of the gloves and blood, detectives found surveillance footage of Kelly at a local Walgreens buying the latex gloves on the night of the murder. She also left the building without paying for them. You might, I mean, how much are latex gloves, Kelly? You got nannies, but you're not playing for fucking latex gloves. But then they found this footage. But when they found this footage, Kelly was also being pulled over by local police. And the detective in the case said, quote, when we found her, she was out on doing a shopping spree. She had filled her car up and made statements that Jim wanted her to have these things, which I thought was kind of strange, end quote.
Definitely.
The cops made Kelly submit to a DNA swab test. The DNA testing had come back for the fingertip of the latex glove.
Ooh.
The outside of the glove had Jim's blood on it, and the inside had Kelly's DNA.
Mm.
On July 9th, Kelly was arrested for murder. The detective described the scene, quote, she was in bed talking on the phone. We kept waiting and waiting until her, you know, we need to go, end quote.
Okay.
Kelly maintained her innocence. In an interview with a Nashville scene magazine, Kelly said, quote, I was the NBA prom queen. I grew up here. Oh, yeah, like prom queens can't like fucking grade anything. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was the NBA prom queen. I grew up here. I married this guy when he had just gone through a divorce and went bankrupt my first year and supported him. I took him back after the affairs and without ado. There was no separation. There was nothing. And that was okay. I didn't care. Whatever. End quote. I love how she's saying, like, I didn't kill him because I, you know, I suffered with him through bankruptcy.
Right.
And I took him back after all the affairs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But there was something else that came back in the testing. The blood found outside of the room, it wasn't Jim's and it wasn't Kelly's. It was actually another woman's blood.
Oh,
Kelly
twist.
Got out on bail while awaiting her trial. A clip from local news station WSMV-TV played on Dateline reporting, quote, police say the woman accused of killing her estranged husband, Jim Cannon, last year, cut the monitoring device from her leg and was nowhere to be found for at least 2 hours.
Interesting.
End quote. She never explained what she did during those 2 hours, but she went to jail for 2 years while waiting for trial. On April 26, 2010, Kelly stood trial for murder. The prosecution outlined the motive that Jim was trying to take her kids away, and the defense claimed there was no way a tiny woman like that could have strangled Jim to death, which does seem a little odd.
Yes.
Prosecutors focused on Kelly's anger, and when the case made news, a bartender...
Interesting.
That and there's no other bartenders. There's only one.
There's only at least two.
Yeah. That previously served Kelly remembered her. The prosecutor said, quote, he realized on seeing that photograph that the woman, Mrs. Cannon, had been in his bar some weeks earlier. She had been drunk and she had been running her mouth, and she was saying that if her husband divorced her and tried to take the children away from her, that she would kill him. End quote. Then the prosecutor brought in the DNA evidence of the latex glove. On cross-examination, the defense brought up that there was also blood in the house that didn't belong to anyone in the family or the family's employees. Was this enough, though, for reasonable doubt?
Yeah, I was just thinking that exact question as we were reading through some of this research.
And keep in mind, she's a tiny woman, okay? Her defense made a point that if everything Jim had alleged was true, the drinking, the prescription meds that we talked about, it would have made it even more difficult for her to have committed murder. At trial, her defense attorney said, quote, at that relevant time, she's anorexic, she's asthmatic, she's subsisting on wine and enough prescription medication to choke a racehorse, and her ever-present inhaler. But the state's theory is that she morphs into a perfect killing machine. It does seem a little odd. It does seem a little odd.
That being said, he was found potentially in a surprised state, you know, like he was ambushed or something.
You'd think he would be able to fight her off.
Yeah.
I think maybe we could do a test and...
And
do you want me to choke you
both? I will lie here on the floor and you, Darren,
yep.
see if you can strangle me. Okay.
Okay. By the way, you can.
No,
I think you
cannot.
I will win.
There is no way.
All right. Well, save this for
There's
like a
no
Facebook
way. Oh,
Live.
Darren looks very.
Okay, let's think about this. If Matt was lying down and I had pinned your hands with my legs,
impossible.
This is
and
getting
already
him,
impossible.
It's impossible.
I don't know. Darren has a little
I'm
bit...
I'm strong.
You were with these guns?
You were describing...
She's going to, with her legs, pin me down. What?
Darren was describing her girlfriend as scrappy, but I think Darren's a little scrappier
scrappy.
than you guys
Darren
think.
Darren is scrappy, but
I'm 5'7",
look
a power, baby.
By the way, he literally said these guns and started like flexing.
I know, and
like,
then I felt mine, and I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm so
like,
high on the juice, sorry.
Yeah, you're so high on the
high
juice.
On the juice. Well, let's save that recreation for like a Facebook Live.
That'll
or
be
something.
Another shot like after several shots.
We'll do that eventually.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, finally it was time. The court was shocked when the jury came back only an hour or so after beginning deliberations.
That's usually not a good sign.
No. According to WKRN, quote, she was convicted in 2010 of the strangulation death of her wealthy husband, James, Jim Cannon. A prosecutor told Snap, quote, the verdict was guilty on the indicted offense of first degree premeditated murder. And in Tennessee, the statutory sentence for first-degree premeditated murder is life in prison.
Oof.
By the way, that's a lot of, like, P words and syllables there for me
first
to get through.
First-degree premeditated murder, no matter what, is life in prison. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Then you better be very sure of
I could
say,
like, 20 years to life.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay.
A former nanny for the couple added, quote, I believe that she did it. I truly believe that she took his life. She will be eligible for parole in 2061 at age 94, barring a successful appeal.
Well, listen, if she can strangle someone at 90 pounds, being all hopped up and anorexic, she could kill someone at 94, maybe.
Kelly is listed on meetaninmate.com, and while we can verify the authenticity of her page, the bio says, quote, I am incarcerated for the accusation of murder of my husband, which I am truly innocent. My case was very high profile and nationally recognized. I have 3 children, of which until last year, I hadn't seen them because husband's family has stolen all of his estate. He was wealthy and they even froze my money, so I could not afford legal representation. My lawyer threw my case for monetary reimbursement. This is the real truth. My deceased hubby led a double life with criminals and they have nailed me with bogus DNA, which was all done in error. I am looking for a friend to chat with. End quote.
I just love how she's like, and I like fishing and walking on the beach and like,
and also my DNA is bogus.
But I also love that she says like my deceased hubby.
Yeah, that's like, an interesting way to look
I'm
at it.
I'm not
that.
Trying to downplay this, but like, you know, in Tinder profiles or in something like that, when you only see pictures of people either like sitting down or with sunglasses on and you're like, I don't know. Like something's kind of weird. And you're like, maybe they're not telling the truth. This woman is giving maybe not the whole truth, but she's literally saying everything that you could possibly say, but she's just looking for someone to chat with.
She's looking for someone to chat with, guys.
Exactly.
The red flag to me in her bio here is, my case was very high profile and nationally recognized.
Yeah.
You're dating a celeb.
Why do you feel the need to say that? Is this impressive?
Yeah. Like, who are you impressing by mentioning that?
Wait, did you say her occupation, though?
I'm getting to that. Yeah, her occupation before prison is listed as homemaker, writer for NASA. Those are a lot of things.
Homemaking is just as important as everything else. But I just like that, like that order.
Those are the two things.
Yeah,
that
like
you are.
I make a home. I'm also a writer for NASA. And what are you writing for NASA?
Right.
Yeah.
Her activities in prison are listed as woodworking, art, and painting, which tend to be, you know, things that people in prison do.
I took woodworking in high school. Let me ask you guys this: now that we know what we know,
yes,
do we think that she's guilty?
Well, you know, here's the thing: a lot of people in the true crime world ask that question. Is she guilty or not? I think from the information we know, I don't know we have enough evidence. I think the question
is... So reasonable doubt.
Did she get a fair trial?
Right. This is like the Adnan Syed thing.
Exactly.
Where it's like, it doesn't matter if he's guilty or innocent. He got a fucked up trial, so he deserves that at least.
And so I don't know that anyone can draw any conclusions about whether or not she's guilty. I think you don't have enough information here. I think it's weird that her DNA is on the inside of this glove, but she's claiming that that was an error. So it's hard to say.
Well,
what do you know?
And to be fair, and just to be a little bit devil's advocate, we've talked about how DNA like sloughs off all the time. You know what I mean? Like your DNA could be in my apartment and you've never been to my apartment.
She could have purchased these latex gloves.
Tried them all on.
Maybe try them on or gave them. Yeah, tried them all on.
They all fit.
Oh, they all fit. All right. Gonna go back to your home. Handed them off to somebody she knows.
Right.
Who then had her DNA as well in there.
Right.
There's a lot of scenarios that are very far-fetched.
And then blood got on the outside of them.
And then, one thing leads
to
another.
Megan, Matt, do you guys think that she's 100% guilty?
There was another woman's blood in the crime scene.
Megan's saying there's another woman's blood in the crime scene.
Dress.
Right.
Like, there was this blood. And then everybody stopped fucking talking.
Right, that's the thing. That was the only thing we said. Like, outside. It was another person. It's like, hello.
What? Yeah.
How much blood? Was there like a pint of blood or a drop or?
Well, that matters too. But even just having any other person's blood seems highly suspect.
Fresh?
Right.
Is it a year old?
Yeah. Like, right. We don't know.
This is why Megan's so a lawyer. Going to be a lawyer.
Yeah. This is why we have Megan on our group.
Exactly.
Matt? I can't say. I really can't say. I just know that there's no way Darren can strangle me. Unless
drink.
I was
mid sip on that one.
So I might have. I might not have convicted.
I will say this: Matt is buffer than when the first day I met him, so he could potentially.
That's because he started working with me, and he knew he needed to really step up his game.
All right, moving into listener shoutouts. We wanted to address something here. Angel in our Facebook group had asked, Darren and John, I need to know, will you guys be at CrimeCon 2019 in New Orleans? We responded in the group, but I thought we should maybe mention it on the show. We're not sure as of this recording if we'll be there, but either way, as soon as we know, we will make sure you guys know.
And you guys all should be there regardless because it's so much fun.
It is fun.
And it's in New Orleans.
Who doesn't love New Orleans?
It's not.
And I guess, Angel, you don't care about me, huh?
Yeah, no, she wasn't asking about you.
Oh, this isn't about me. No. Okay, what's Angel's last name?
I don't know. It's in the Facebook group.
Her last name is in our Facebook group.
Okay.
Yeah.
I try to reserve people's last names in our shout-outs just in case they don't want their...
You can tell me after.
Okay, I'll let you
know.
Right.
Well, Kate in our Facebook group... Kate in our Facebook group says, also, if Matt was in this group, this is exactly why he's not allowed, I would tell him that pretending John quit was his worst idea ever. I used to like him. Now he is dead to me.
What's Kate's last name?
What is Kate's last name?
Oddly enough, her last name is also in our Facebook group.
In our Facebook group. Yeah, that's her last name.
Clearly, people have, like, siblings.
Look, Matt, you're losing some fans after your bad idea from last week. You just have to accept it.
It's so bad. Matt sucks.
Yeah, I think that's we've known that. It's 100 some episodes.
Maybe physically I couldn't restrain him and choke him, but I feel like my intellect does that every day.
Yes, for sure. Oh, for sure.
Thank you for everyone agreeing. Megan laughed, but I know that was because she was agreeing with me.
Sticks and stones, Darren.
There you go.
Well, break your bones.
Maybe you get
Angel and Kate
to help you.
Shut the fuck up.
Maybe Darren, Angel, and Kate could strangle me if they combined forces.
Imagine just like Carson. Like in the Avengers when like everyone's on the Hulk and he's just like Hulk raging and like can't be.
Do you think I've seen the Avengers? Like, stop. Stop presenting evidence that doesn't help me.
It's just the biggest movie franchise of our time.
I know. EW did this whole thing where it was like top 10 blockbuster movies of the year. And I go, never seen it, never seen it, never seen it. And I was like,
John.
No, we have two more things to say.
One quick thing. We want to get you guys excited because the time has finally arrived.
The time is nigh.
We have been... The way you said that into the microphone.
Nah.
We've been teasing this for almost like 2 months now, and Megan has been working very diligently. Part one of our best of episodes start next week, so make sure you're subscribed and listening because you're going to relive some of our biggest moments.
Megan slaved over doing this, so you definitely want to listen to this episode.
And that's it for this week's episode. We'll see you guys soon.
Yes, bye.